Last Lord's Day, I failed to mention about the horrible event that took place in Uvalde, Texas, with the killing of 19 innocent children and 2 heroic teachers in a classroom. I had already recorded the sermon before this terrible act of violence occurred. So I wanted to mention this morning how much it hurts us as a nation, yes, in this terrible loss. And so we grieve with the families and pray for God's providential care to be with them. And to understand, our nation has gone further and further away from God for how long? Well, the situation at hand should be obvious to everyone. It's a spiritual problem. Yes, it is. And we need to turn back to God, and we need to listen to what God says through His holy word and apply it to our lives and obey, of course, the gospel and live faithfully no matter what. This is the answer. Well, as we studied last Lord's Day, are we listening to God? We noted that there are a number of examples how the Word of God applies and speaks to all of us who are accountable, of course. We looked at the 4 hearts in the parable of the soils, as our heart is one of these types in this parable, Luke 8:4-15. We looked at 2 roads in life, Matthew 7:13-14. As we know, there is the wide gate and the broad way that leads to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. 2 roads in life. There are 2 masters which we can serve, but only one at a time. As Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. We're either serving Christ or Satan. There are two kinds of foundations, as you see in Matthew 7:21-27. We're either building our life upon the teachings of Christ, the rock of truth, or we are building our life upon the loose sand of Satan's lies and deceptions, one or the other. We noted that the phrase, I have sinned, is found 19 times in the Word of God. And all of us need to make that statement because we've all sinned against God, Romans 3:23. And then we looked at types in the Old Testament which point to the antitypes in the New Testament. What a great study that is. And so we want to pick back up with where we left off last Lord's Day in our study of this question. Are we listening to God? And not being hearers only, of course, but being doers of the Word. So we'll pick back up with our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Let's remember the initials, PFE, and continue to do just that. So we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, in Martinsville. As we come together in our Bible classes, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us, as we are a very loving congregation, and you'll find a warm welcome. Now, something else we need to mention. If you would like to have a Bible study, please let us know. We look forward to those opportunities. We're always glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, they're always appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, before we get into our study, we want to mention again the gospel meetings. One starts today, and that is the one at Stop 11 Road, Church of Christ, at the corner of Five Points and Stop 11 Road. And their service time for today is 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 5 p.m. And then Monday through Thursday, that would be the 6th through the 9th, that would be 7 o'clock each night. And the speaker is Brother Tom House, who I'm sure will do an excellent job, as I've heard him speak at the lectureship there at Stop 11 last year. Look forward to hearing him again. And then following their meeting, our meeting begins on the 10th of June. That's Friday and Saturday night at 7 p.m. And then on Sunday, 9:30, 10:30, a potluck lunch that's delicious. Always is. And then the last service would be at 1 p.m. Our speaker is Brother Randall Jones, a former preacher here at Morgan Street for many years. He's now the preacher in Richardsville, Kentucky, Church of Christ. So we look forward to having Brother Randall Jones come and do our meeting as he has done before. We hope you'll make your plans to attend as many services as possible. Now, let's get back to our study of asking, are we listening to God? Certainly God is speaking through His Word, and we've noted a number of examples, haven't we? If you were listening last week, to how the Word of God is applying and, of course, relates to every one of us. It's speaking to all of us. So we want to pick back up now with the journey that Paul made to Rome. It gives us many lessons to relate to our journey in life. Now this would be Acts chapters 27 and 28, as Luke gives the inspired account of the Apostle Paul's journey to Rome as a prisoner. He appealed to Caesar, did he not? And that's why he was on this paid trip to Rome, you might say. Well, of course, being a prisoner is not the ideal condition. But Paul took advantage of his situation and even converted some of the Roman soldiers who were chained to him around the clock. But here's the examples that are in these two chapters. I've done a gospel meeting, in fact, on these two chapters, so I wished we could spend more time on each one, but we won't have the time to do so. But let me mention them. Deception. That is a needed lesson, is it not? Following the multitude. Of course, we don't want to follow the multitude to do evil. And seeking wise counsel. That's another lesson. Salvation is in the church, as salvation was in the ship, and they were not to leave it. That was, as it, of course, was in the storm. Then the providence of God was there in that study. The fickle-mindedness of man, yes, that's another lesson. Encouragement of faithful brethren. The hope of Israel. Preaching the kingdom was what we saw as the book of Acts closed out. Paul preaching the kingdom. So these are some of the lessons you can find in Paul's journey to Rome. And as we go through life, we can apply these eternally important lessons to our life. It relates. But here's another example of how the Word of God applies and speaks to us all. This would be in the book of the Revelation. There are seven letters to the seven churches of Asia, which will fit all congregations of the Lord's church today. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we can read and study the seven letters to the congregations of the Lord's church in Asia. Three congregations, Ephesus, Pergamos, and Thyatira, received the Lord's approval on some things, but also the Lord had a few things against them. Probably most congregations would fit into this category. We hope at least they're not like the last two we'll mention. But here are the two congregations that stand out, Smyrna and Philadelphia, because they receive no rebuke, but only the Lord's commendation. That's what we should strive for, of course, in every congregation. But notice now, one congregation, Sardis, was dead. We certainly don't want our congregation to be dead. And one congregation, Laodicea, was lukewarm, which made the Lord sick. So let's be sure that we're striving to be like Smyrna and Philadelphia in these letters. So which of these seven congregations best describes us here at our congregation? We can all ask that. So again, we emphasize the question, are we truly listening to God? If we do not hear and study the Word of God, then we are not listening to God. That's it. Romans 10:17, we should all know this verse. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there can be no faith, biblical faith. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the inspired Apostle Paul was admonishing Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So how many hours a week are we listening to God's word? Have we understood that we're under the law of Christ? We study the Old Testament. We preach it. The lessons are infinite in number. But we're not under the law of Moses, nor are we under patriarchal law. We're under the law of Christ, so we have to rightly divide the word of truth, but we need to study. We're not going to be approved unto God if we're not studying. If we're at every service, that would be 4 hours a week, and ladies' class would make it five. Of course, gospel meetings would add to that, attending lectureships and so forth. But compare that to how many hours a day and a week. That's not a whole lot. So we need to be studying at home. How often are we doing that? Studying God's Word at home. How often do we talk to others about the Word of God? Another question to ask ourselves. Does the Word of God convict me? Well, on the day of Pentecost, the gospel of Christ was preached to those Jews present there in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. That was the day the church began. And notice what effect the Word of God had on many hearts. Not all of them, and not as many as we would have hoped for. But in Acts 2:37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Their conscience went off, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized they had crucified Christ. Yes, and we're all guilty of Christ being crucified, are we not? For all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, we know that. So we're guilty too. And our hearts need to be pricked by the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But, that's Hebrews 4:12, but if we harden our hearts as the hard ground, the Word of God has become of no effect. Notice what Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees as they were, excuse me, in Mark chapter 7. You'll see here how they were asking, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Well, that's awful, they thought. But what were they doing? Jesus said about Isaiah, prophesied about them in verse 6, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. And so in doing that, notice verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. We don't want to be like them, making the word of God of none effect. But that's what happens if we harden our hearts, as so many people are not interested in hearing what God has to say anymore. Isn't that obvious? It should be. But let's ask another question. Every one of us need to answer this. What will I say to the Lord as I give an account for how I have lived in this life? Well, many people are able to fool their fellow man by lying and cheating and hiding the truth, or by other means of deception. But God is not deceived. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Life everlasting. That's what we want to reap, life everlasting. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're all going to give an account for what we have done, not for someone else. So since we must all stand before God, what will we say to God if we have not obeyed him? If we've stayed in our sins, will we try to make excuses for not having obeyed God? Well, how far is that going to get us? Will anyone who is accountable unto God be excused for not obeying God? Notice Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There will be no excuse on the day of judgment. In Lystra, Paul said, Barnabas would not accept the people's worship, as they said. In Acts 14, 15 and 16, yes, Paul and Barnabas would not accept the people's worship because they understood they're not gods. And so they said, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Now notice, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. In other words, there's no excuse, since God did not leave himself without witness. Everything is clearly seen. There's a creation. There is a creator. If you have a painting, you had to have a painter. If you have a farm, you had to have a farmer. If you have a book, you had to have an author, so forth. We all should see that. There's no excuse not to seek our Creator's will in our lives and obey His Word. So, what will we say on the day of judgment before God? Well, if we're prepared, we're not going to have a problem. Well, here's another question. What will the Lord say to me on the day of judgment? Will there be people on the day of judgment who thought they were doing God's will during their lifetime, but in reality were believing a lie? Well, notice what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. We don't want to hear those words, do we? Of course not. Just calling out, Lord, Lord, thinking that we're doing the Lord's will, that's not going to get it. We have to know by the Word, staying with the Word, no matter how many others do not. To truly follow Jesus, we must hear and obey His Word. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What will God say to me on the day of judgment depends on whether I have lived in obedience or disobedience to His Word. We will all be judged by the one true standard, the law of Christ. John 12:48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Do we know what Jesus has spoken by studying the New Testament? By studying God's Word, are we listening to God and applying His Word to our lives in obedience to the gospel of Christ and remaining faithful, even if it means our death? And so as we close out our study, again, we've asked the question, are we, and I'll emphasize this, are we truly listening to God? Not if we're not studying the Holy Scriptures. We have to study for ourselves to be sure the things that are being said are true. They may not be true. Preachers can be misleading, can take things out of context, can teach false doctrine. They can be sheep in wolves' clothing. And how are we going to recognize with what they're teaching, whether it's true or not, unless we study for ourselves? Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. So we must truly listen to God to be assured that we're hearing the truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. Jesus said to those disciples that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. When we know the truth, we can, number one, discern that which is good and that which is evil. Number two, we can determine when someone is teaching a false doctrine. Number three, we can recognize the deceptions used by Satan and prepare ourselves. Number four, we have assurance of our eternal destiny. Number five, we have complete trust in God who will not forsake us. Number six, we have true peace of mind. And number seven, we're not going to be afraid to defend, to proclaim, and to live by the Word of God. Now, that's the best life possible, is it not? Well, of course it is. God is speaking to us today through His written Word, the Holy Bible, as we mentioned throughout our study. And certainly, Romans 10:17 bears that out. Notice Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that," what? "Diligently seek Him." Are we listening, truly listening to God in obedience to His Word? If not, it's not too late to change. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We'll sit down and study further. We need to hear the truth. We need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, of course. That should motivate us to repent of our sins, make a change of wills. Now we're ready to do the will of God. And once we repent, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. We're not there yet. We're stating, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God." Having made that statement, now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Jesus shed His blood in His death, John 19:33-34. And He was buried in a tomb, but He came forth. He was resurrected. So when we go under that watery grave, we're buried into the death of Christ to contact His precious blood. And we're coming up out of the water to walk in newness of life in the likeness of His resurrection. We're born again spiritually. Now we need to go forth continuing to study and live faithfully, no matter what happens, until death even. If it means our very death, it's to gain, is it not, if we die in the Lord? Well, of course, but to live is to serve Christ and continue on faithfully until that death comes, our death, that is. So again, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel and studying further. Yes, we all need to be students of God's Word in order to truly be listening to God. And we thank you so very much for listening today.